This week, continuing on in our study with Psalm 119, we have verses 41 through 48, which is Vav. Now, in these verses, we have a pleading to the Lord. Knowing that sin has been a part of his life, the psalmist asks that he not be removed from the Lord's favor. Holy fear is something that we should be very aware of, and we can use it to our advantage. It tells us in Proverbs chapter 9, verses 10 through 12, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself, and if you scoff, you will bear it alone." We must remind ourselves that there is no true joy in sin. We must put ourselves in the service of God. The more we do that, the more we put ourselves in the service of God, the more delight we will have in this life. In these verses, the psalmist resolves. He resolves to keep God's law. He wants to remain in a constant obedience without backsliding. And so we too should conform to this example, and we should not be ashamed to lift up our hands to God's commandments. Verses 41 through 48, Psalm 119. "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word. So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. So shall I keep your law continually, forever and ever. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. I will speak of your testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. My hands also I lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes." Going back to the first verse, verse 41. "Let your mercies come also to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your word." Just as much as the psalmist needed mercy, we too also need God's mercy and his teaching. He nor we need the mercy of men, but of God. And so, this verse gives us this example as we ask for God's mercy. He does not need one instance of mercy, but many. And so it is plural, mercies. Sometimes our path is not clear or it is blocked by our own sin. And so the psalmist asks for the Lord to let those mercies come to him, to meet him at his place of misery and pain. Perhaps he was too weak or too ashamed to make his way to the Lord. So he asked for this favor. The psalmist knows that the only way to salvation is according to God's word and in the Holy Scripture, and so he proclaims it. In the previous 8 verses of Hey, the psalmist prayed to be taught to keep God's word, and so he knows that salvation is only according to what God has decreed. It is in God's word where we should seek the knowledge of truth so that we may be prepared for those that reproach us. And so we have the next verse. "So shall I have an answer for him who reproaches me, for I trust in your word." God in his scripture has given us a comprehensive system of knowledge from which we can draw any argument to answer those who condemn us. The best answer that can be given to reproaches on the subject of our faith will only be found in the Holy Scripture. You don't need a PhD or a master's degree to be able to silence the arguments of the skeptic. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 20 declares, "Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We should obviously trust in God's word, as the psalmist did. David, having ruled men, having to overcome many who sought to overtake him, having vast knowledge of the world at his time, he knew that he is to trust in God's word, for there is no place else to rest that trust. And with that trust, we have the next verse. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in your ordinances. The scriptures, which are divinely inspired, come from God, from the God of truth, and contain nothing but truth in them. The word is a declaration of God's mind and is concerning the salvation of men, his laws, his ordinances, his statutes and commandments. It stands opposed to everything that is falsehood and a lie. This is what the psalmist desires to not be taken out of his mouth. He hopes for God to appear and justify his cause to those who reproach him. He waits for God's judgment towards those who oppose him, and it is similar to the time spoken about in verse 20. My soul breaks with longing for your judgments at all times. Verse 44, so shall I keep your law continually forever and ever. So this goes hand in hand with having the truth in our mind and in our mouth. As long as we have the truth on our tongues and the judgments of God in our sight, we will be aligned and constant in our duty to God. Charles Spurgeon put it like this: nothing more effectually binds a man to the way of the Lord than an experience of the truth of his word, embodied in the form of mercies and deliverances. God's mercies towards us, it leads us to feel gratitude and a sense that we are owned by him. That promotes us wanting to please him. It promotes a cycle of guilt, grace, and gratitude that can carry us through to the end forever and ever. And so we will walk at liberty. Verse 45. And I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts. As one becomes more sanctified, you will find that there is no bondage in sanctity. The way of holiness is not the path of slavery, but instead the king's highway for a free man. The more we seek after the perfection of our obedience to God's precepts, the more we will realize the joy in being emancipated from spiritual slavery. The more we turn to sin and deceit, the more we have weighing us down. Lies turn into more lies, lusts into more lusts. Sin simply begets more sin. And so, we have those shackles that bind us to it. The more we try to use sin to give us pleasure and to seek that artificial joy, the more woeful we will become, and thus perpetuating the cycle. Instead, we must seek God's precepts. We must search out the liberty in which he has prepared for us by following his laws and commands. Wherever God pardons sin, he subdues it. Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will again have compassion on us and will subdue our iniquities. He will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. And that is how the condemning power of sin is taken away. And so we must always be in constant search for God's precepts in our lives. In verse 46, he says, I will speak of your testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. So, we have the psalmist who is prepared to speak of God's testimonies before kings and not be ashamed. He has already defended himself against the reproach of non-believers. He has kept the law and seen the fruit gained. He has been able to walk in liberty, free from the shackles and slavery of sin. Having done this, he can now speak, being as bold as a lion before kings. He will not be ashamed. This is a part of his liberty. We must note that the example is set to actually speak and not just let our actions do the talking. Although when we look at the fruit of the tree of a Christian, sometimes a Christian's life can be mistaken for the life that the secular society simply deems as a good person. We must prepare ourselves to separate ourselves from that label, to be recognized as a Christian proclaiming God's scripture. We must claim our liberty that God has given us and glorify Him by proclaiming His name and His holy gospel to our friends, to our family, to those who we meet on the street, and even to kings and the magistrates of the state, never being ashamed. And so, psalmist delights in his commandments. Verse 47. And I will delight myself in your commandments, which I love. So we have liberty and we have courage. And what follows that is delight. That is when our thoughts are at the center of God's commandments. When we do our duty, we can find great joy. That is the purpose of our life. The Westminster Confession calls it the chief end of man, and that is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Having spoken to kings, the psalmist now can think back upon that which he said and be joyful for giving testimony to God's scripture. So we too will be joyful and delighted because the love of God's commandments will persuade us to share them as they give lasting fulfillment in our lives. We have no problem sharing to our friends a movie that we enjoyed, a good dish at our favorite restaurant, or simply a place we enjoy visiting. So, we too should have no problem delighting in God's commandments, sharing them with others, as it is something we love. Finally, we have verse 48. My hands also I will lift up to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. It's very common, being humans, to reach towards that which we want and desire. We reach out towards that which we love. We think about those things which bring joy and delight and smile as we do so. God's commandments were no different to the psalmist, and they should be no different to us. Hardly any action can compare to showing affection, love, and wanting than outstretched arms. It's almost the higher they are, the more fervent the desire. And so our psalmist lifted up his hands for our Lord's commandments, those that which he loved, those that he gained understanding of God's mercy from, those that he defended against reproach, those that he gained true liberty from, those that he spoke about to kings, those that he delighted in, finally, those that he meditated on. So we too should reach out our hands to God's commandments. We should cultivate a love and understanding of, perpetually meditating upon them, for they are the only rule to direct us how we may glorify God and enjoy Him forever.